Good morning. You're listening to 1180 WFYL's It's a New Day. Mike Levins here. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And again, welcome to the program. You can call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Thursday. We got two more days. Two more days in the week, and I can't wait because I need some rest. I don't know about you. I've been working like a dog this week. And as you're driving to work this morning, getting ready to pay your dues to whatever company it is you work for, whether it's good old Uncle Sam himself, we salute you as you drive in the car to your various obligations this morning, keeping this wonderful country going. And while you're driving, go ahead and join our conversation. Again, that number 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. We have too much to go over today, so we're going to cram it all in and see how well we could do here. Former U.S. commander is calling for nuclear missiles to be taken off of high alert. We're going to touch on that. The Pentagon says the U.S. is able to respond if needed after Iran seizes a cargo ship. We'll get into exactly what the Pentagon means there. And then the report of all reports, Freddie Gray may have intentionally tried to injure self in police van. That's the headline from FoxNews.com. And this is derived from a report late last night by the Washington Post. And the Post said that an unidentified prisoner who was with Freddie Gray in the police van, who was separated from Gray by a metal partition, he could not see him, reportedly said he heard Gray, quote, banging himself against the walls, unquote, and believed he was, again, quote, intentionally trying to injure himself. The prisoner's statements were contained in an investigative document obtained by the paper, which said it was unclear if there was any additional information to support the theory. Gray, who is black, of course, was arrested April 12th after he ran from police. Officers held him down, handcuffed him, and loaded him into the police van. While inside, he became irate and leg cuffs were put on him, police had said. At some point, he suffered a severe spinal injury and was unconscious when the van arrived at a police station. And authorities have not explained how or when Gray's spine was injured. He died April 19th. And the death of Gray, of course, sparked riots earlier this week in Baltimore as protests turned violent, resulting into major property damage throughout the city and around 200 arrests. Well, that's an interesting bit of news. Now, again, the prisoner did not see Freddie Gray. He did not see him, but that was the report from the Washington Post as to what the prisoner was deriving hearing this banging. Now, I will say this is a point for thought. And this is what I initially proposed, that possibly this happened when he was taken down by the police. And then that was when, again, because his injuries are severe, voice box was crushed, vertebrae were crushed, spinal cord 80% severed. Severe injuries. And one of the things that I was thinking was maybe in the takedown, he landed some wrong way, and that could have caused some of the injury. And then, of course, he was not secured in the van, and that was actually talked about. If I'm looking here at another CNN article, he actually was not secured in the van, and Police Commissioner, Baltimore Police Commissioner Anthony Batts, has said that Gray should have been buckled in. Quote, we know he was not buckled in the transport wagon as he should have been. No excuses for that, period. Now, apparently, and the story thickens here, A woman spoke to CNN, doing so on the condition of anonymity. She's related to the officer, but said the officer didn't request the interview. She told CNN's Anderson Cooper that the officer doesn't know how Gray was hurt during his arrest. I'm reading from a CNN article now. She also gave an explanation of why Gray was not buckled into the police van. He appeared belligerent. Quote, they didn't want to reach over him. You were in a tight space in the paddy wagon. He's already irate, she said. He still has his teeth and he still has his saliva. So in order to seatbelt somebody, you have to get in their personal space. They're not going to get in his personal space if he's already irate. Now, I will say this. If he was that belligerent to where, reportedly by the police, his legs were to be cuffed, okay? And if that was part of the reason that he wasn't secured because he was so irate that it would have been hazardous for police officers to secure him, then that would suggest that he was not injured before he entered the police van. Now the question is, what exactly happened in the police van? And of course, this testimony, if you will, about him banging himself against the walls. Again, that's a quote. This is a prisoner who was in the police van. He's been unidentified right now, but he was separated from Gray by a metal partition, so he couldn't see him. But he said he heard Gray, quote, banging himself against the walls, unquote, and believed he was, quote, intentionally trying to injure himself. Now, the other question remains, can someone sustain injuries to that degree merely by, if he was, hitting himself against the walls on a police van or whatever have you? Could someone injure themselves enough to crush their voice box, break their own neck, sever their spinal cord? That doesn't seem quite to line up. So there are more facts to the story that we just don't have here. And on the mic right now, we have Al Locke joining us in studio.
Yes, yesterday, and I urge everybody to listen to it, from 12 to 1, we have Stand in the Gap today. They had a chief of police from a major metropolitan area on, and we need to all step back and let a complete investigation occur here. We at the station here, of course, are very, very sympathetic to Freddie Gray's family, Freddie Gray's friends. It's a tragic, tragic occurrence that this happened. We don't like to see the death of anybody, but we need to let the wheels of justice turn here, do a complete investigation. What was disclosed yesterday in our 12-to-1 program is that Freddie Gray might have had a pre-existing condition with his vertebrae. He might have had 3 fused discs that were operated on before. He might have sustained severe injuries earlier. So this is, I tried to investigate it on the, and confirm it. We need to let the authorities do justice here and make sure everybody gets a fair hearing. It's no excuse to riot or basically destroy property, but we need to let the wheels of justice turn here. If it was a pre-existing condition and things happen like Michael just described, it might have happened without police involvement. But let's let the authorities determine that, and it's only fair to have the community involvement in this police investigation, so everything is fair and above board.
And there has to be restraint. There has to be. If there's no restraint, then we're going to have now credit to Baltimore for holding it together. They have been doing a good job. Of course, we had a curfew that's been in place now for the city of Baltimore, and they've done, and the police forces there and the National Guard have done a good job of keeping the peace. But this is what happens when you act and you don't know all the evidence. because there are things that there are factors that you didn't even consider. Like, I didn't even consider the fact that he may have had a pre-existing condition. And we won't know that until medical reports come out, until the autopsy report comes out. And that could have caused something. And we've got to let the investigation take place. And because of different major news outlets spinning this story into something that it wasn't, and quite frankly, obscuring the facts. Because all I've talked about here are the facts. You know, what happened? Okay, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. And we can't jump to conclusions. That's apparently a hobby today in today's society. You call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We've got to head to a break. You can call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We'll be back after this.
God's hand upon him, Nehemiah pursued the impossible. Rebuild broken walls, repair burned gates, restore a lost national identity. But Nehemiah had what few leaders have, a vision bigger than himself and a faith in God that wouldn't waver. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. At PPN, we encourage pastors to set their vision high, focus on God's calling and God's equipping, and boldly lead their people forward. Whether opposed by people, circumstances, or discouragement, Nehemiah did what godly leaders do. He went to his knees in prayer. He repented for his sins and the sins of the people. He beseeched God to hear the prayer of his servants who feared his name. Then he encouraged the people to work. Despite the opposition, the walls were rebuilt, gates repaired, identity found, and the worship of God restored. And you can do the same. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network.
Sign up as a partner and learn more about us at papastors.net.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The size of the U.S. doubled this day, April 30th, 1803, with the Louisiana Purchase. Nearly a million acres at less than 3 cents an acre, it was the greatest land bargain in history. How did it happen? Napoleon Bonaparte needed money quickly for his military campaigns. Therefore, he sold all the land west of the Mississippi for just $15 million. Napoleon, who fought in Europe, Egypt, and Russia, once stated, "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires upon force. But Jesus Christ founded his upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, toll-free, 1-877-667-1180. Good morning. Hope you're having a wonderful morning as you're driving to work. New information about Freddie Gray. It always happens, especially when you rush to judgment. And we have the Supreme Court beginning to rule, or not rule, taking arguments for homosexual marriage. And we have quotes from each Supreme Court justice. We're going to jump headlong into that this morning as well. And I'm looking at a sign, and this is an article. I can't believe this. You want to talk about twisting? I'm looking at a sign, okay? This is on Yahoo.com, reading an article of the Supreme Court justices and what exactly they are saying. And you've got to be kidding me. I'm looking at a sign that's got the Gay Pride rainbow background, and on it is plastered, and right next to it, I do, quote unquote, I do support the freedom to marry. Oh, okay, great. And then that's good. You know, you could, well, whatever, you could support whatever you want. Okay, that's perfectly fine. You have every ability to do that in this country. I have issue with the sign next to it. And it says 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. You know, I had a scripture of the day, but I don't know. I may just stick on this one. So let's read it. Everyone knows this verse. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, the New International Version. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Apparently, they forgot that part. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Which, by the way, do we even know what God is talking about? Or the author, Paul, do we know what he's even talking about? Well, let's read from the beginning of the chapter, shall we? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now, he's talking to the church in Corinth because they were basically an unruly, disorganized church that was talking over each other in their own services when they gathered. They didn't have enough respect to let one person speak over the other. They were all trampling over each other. They had some issues with sin. This church was just having all sorts of issues. So Paul outlines what love really is. Now, apparently they missed 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. All right, that's my tangent. But let's go to our actual scripture of the day. This is Romans. And if you want to read with me, this is Romans chapter 1. And we're going to start at 18, verse 18. Now note, the author of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, the thing that's read at every wedding you've ever been to in your life. His name is Paul. The same author wrote what I'm about to read to you now. Romans 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since that may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Might I add, he was writing this to a culture which had its roots in ancient Greek culture. This was written to Rome. And Paul also wrote that letter to Corinth, the church in Corinth that we read before. That's why it's called Romans, and that's why it's called Corinthians. 1 Corinthians because it was the first letter, 2 Corinthians because it was the second letter. And Paul knew in Greek culture not only was homosexuality sanctioned, but also pedophilia was sanctioned. Even sometimes accounts of necrophilia. Some of the Roman emperors were famous for having children as their partners, young boys. Paul was writing to a culture to where this was accepted in either the norm, not pedophilia necessarily, that was more the Greeks, but homosexuality. And he's calling it out right here. So let's be clear. The scripture does not condone or justify homosexuality in any way. If I was told to love you by letting you go rob a bank because you were starving, then that wouldn't be love if I let you do that. Because your life, even though you may be starving, would be forever changed. And in fact, I should go and help you try to actually get some food the right way. Even their women exchange natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. I'm reading 26 again. Romans 1:26. Here's 27. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves, get this, the due penalty for their error. And here's the verse afterward, and here's the scary one. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. That's the truth. We're heading to a break, and we will be back. Accelerating Your Business is going to be coming up shortly. Mike Levins here. You could join the conversation and let your voice be heard. That's 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Toll free, 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. We'll be back.
Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Protests over the death of a man arrested in Baltimore spread to other cities with at least 60 arrests in New York.
Police just moved in. They didn't give nobody a chance to not even to even march. We didn't even get to march on the sidewalk. They just closed us in.
Also protests in Denver, Boston, Indianapolis, Washington, D.C., and Ferguson, Missouri. Results of a police investigation into Freddie Gray's death are expected to be turned into a state's attorney by tomorrow. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders announces today he'll run for the Democrats' presidential nomination.
He'll start at a huge disadvantage, trailing Hillary Clinton in fundraising and name recognition, but he could energize the left wing of the party, still skeptical about Clinton's progressive resume. Sanders, an independent and self-described socialist, is the leading critic of the Obama administration's push for a Pacific trade deal.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern in Washington. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Do you have huge growth goals for your company but don't know how to get there from where you are now? Or has your business not been growing and you don't know why or what to do to get back to growth? Or are you in a different situation where your business has been growing rapidly by leaps and bounds, but you're experiencing growing pains and are concerned that your company might rather be overexpanding or won't be able to keep up with demand, both threatening your short and long-term profitability? If you are in any of these situations, we have the show for you. Accelerating Your Business, a new weekly call-in radio program every Thursday morning from 7:34 a.m. to 8 a.m. hosted by me, Michelle Faustin, your growth, market entry, and business expansion expert and president and CEO of MJF Strategy, will help you get and take your business to the next level by answering any and all questions related to growing your business profitably the right way. For a chance to have your questions aired and answered on our show, email me at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. That's Accelerating Your Business, airing every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. on WFYL. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Before Gergeot New York was a fashion line, it was one woman's dream. And when her company grew and needed space in the heart of Manhattan, Regis made it happen for a fraction of the cost. With beautifully furnished offices and administrative support staff, Regis gave Gergeot the professional image she wanted and the place to make her life's work a reality. So when you're ready to start your business or take your business to the next level, Regis is there. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES now.
MFB Wealth Management in Souderton has an opening for a financial advisor. If you are currently working in financial planning with a Series 7 and Series 66, and you would like to be in a Christian environment, we would like to talk with you. MFB Wealth Management provides biblical financial planning and tax services. The initials MFB stand for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, where Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." We work closely to motivate individuals in applying God's principles, to develop priorities, to give generously, and invest wealth carefully with an eternal perspective.
To learn more about MFB, visit our website at mfbwm.com. For more information, call our office at 215-723-8999. MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back to the program this morning. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levin's here. It's a new day. It's a new day as you're driving to work this morning in your car. Thank you for listening. We're going to continue the conversation this morning. Again, you can let your voice be heard. And we got a lot in the show for you this morning. We've got the arguments from Supreme Court justices, quotes from them regarding the trials being, or the hearings right now, the arguments that they're hearing on homosexual marriage. We have the Pentagon saying the U.S. is able to respond if needed after Iran seizes cargo ship. Oh boy, and former U.S. commander calls for nuclear missiles to be taken off high alert. Welcome to the program this morning. Again, you could call in 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, and we'll have your voice be heard this morning. And of course, the big story that everyone has been talking about is Freddie Gray, who may now have intentionally tried to harm himself in police van. And this was from a report from the Washington Post, where they cited a prisoner who has been unidentified but was actually in the van with Freddie Gray and saying that he was, again, and I will quote, banging himself against the walls. And that was what he said he heard and believed he quote, was intentionally trying to hurt, to injure, I'm sorry, quote, was intentionally trying to injure himself. Now, does this explain the extent of his injuries? No. His spinal cord was 80% severed. His vertebrae were crushed. His voice box was crushed. Now, could there be some kind of pre-existing condition, possibly? That was another point that was brought up by Al Locke earlier in the program. There could have been. He could have had fused discs. There's a number of different things. The point is that you should not respond by burning down, not for nothing, your own city. A lot of the protesters who were doing this. Protesters. You ceased to become a protester at that point. There was one interview where a guy was like, see, if you call them a thug, see, I think he said something like, you'd only call a black person a thug, or that has, I'm offended by that term. What else do you want to call them? They're burning down stores. They're looting their neighbor's property. Well, what should I call them? Upstanding citizens? Doing their American duty? If that's doing your American duty, then I don't want to be an American anymore. Call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. Now, the arguments on gay marriage have begun, and that was earlier, 2 days ago this week. And we're going to go over some of the quotes that the different points being brought up by both sides arguing. Now, let's just go ahead. I'm reading an article from Yahoo.com. This is Yahoo Politics. And this is going to be quote by quote. Okay, but I'm going to read the beginning of the article first. In the same-sex marriage oral arguments at the Supreme Court on Tuesday, eight of the justices revealed their personalities and their very different approaches to marriage equality. And I love how people are saying that it's marriage equality. Marriage right now, see, it's not marriage equality. What you're doing is you're changing the definition of marriage. Don't call it marriage equality. You're changing the definition of marriage. This is nothing to do with equality. Marriage was never meant to be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And why am I so adamant about that? I'm adamant about that because as a Christian, marriage is one of the most sacred things in our faith. It's sacred not just because it's found in Scripture, not just because of that. It is a picture of Jesus Christ being united with the church in the end of times. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ, and Christ is referred to as the bridegroom. And you've probably heard this, maybe you have, maybe you hadn't, but when Jesus returns, he'll go ahead and catch up the church, and depending on what you believe, whether it's a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, if you know what I'm talking about, great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's really not that important. But Jesus will go ahead, he will catch the church, all the believers with him in the sky. We will be raptured out. You've probably heard that term before. That sometimes is used a lot in our society. We'll be raptured out, and that is when the church will be united with Christ to fulfill the quote-unquote marriage vow. I talked about on the show before that communion was a sign of marriage in ancient times. Literally, when Jesus was taking the cup of wine and drinking it, when he said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until I come again. That was literally a sign of marriage, a marriage covenant in ancient times. So that's why I'm so adamant about this. This is not only something that Scripture ordains, but this is the picture of the most sacred, the highest union ever. And that's going to be between Christ Jesus and his church when they're united for all eternity in heaven together. That's why I'm so adamant about this, because this is you're not merely making marriage equal. You're not making marriage something that now everyone has a shot at it and you can't say that it's only reserved for men and women. No, you're changing the definition of marriage. Don't say it's marriage equality. You're changing the definition of marriage. Okay, don't sugarcoat it with political spin. Don't try to talk yourself out of it or to talk yourself into something which is a complete lie, okay? You are changing the definition of marriage. It's exactly what's happening. Here's a quote from Chief Justice John Roberts. This is on Tuesday. One of the things that's truly extraordinary about this whole issue is how quickly this has been the acceptance of your position across broad elements of society. If you prevail here, there will be no more debate. I mean, closing of debate can close minds, and it will have a consequence on how this new institution is accepted. People feel very differently about something if they have a chance to vote on it than if it's imposed on them by the courts. And exactly. I mean, what the heck? These guys are not legislators. And they never should be. I think that this is the Supreme Court should have never been allowed to have power to change law in this way. If I'm reading on in the article, Chief Justice Roberts has long been troubled by the idea that courts might short-circuit a democratic debate over marriage equality. There it is again. By imposing a constitutional right to marry by judicial fiat. In his dissent from the Windsor case in 2013, he wrote that he was reluctant to, quote, tar the political branches with the brush of bigotry, unquote, without convincing evidence that a law's, quote, principal purpose was to codify malice. You might vote to uphold same-sex marriage bans on the grounds that people, not judges, should decide the future of marriage. And politically, that should be how it's done. If we really want to know what the people think, then let the legislature decide. And at that point, if it gets passed, so be it. That's how our country works. That's why we're a republic. We send our representatives up there for a reason, and it's certainly not to just push pencils. Go ahead, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180. I love that dissent, though. Tar the political branches with the brush of bigotry. So apparently you're a bigot if you don't believe that homosexual marriage is something that's important. You know, from a Christian perspective, there's been a lot of talk that churches could lose their tax-exempt status. And I will say this. The church better be ready. This is going to be a make-or-break year for the American church. Because things are changing in this country like we've never seen before. And just like in history, every nation that begins to embrace homosexuality as a whole, that can mark the decline of that nation. You could look at nations throughout the history of the earth, whether it be the Greeks or the Romans, okay? You can look and you can see. It's there. It's documented. History that old, fortunately, has no bias. Well, here's what Justice Antonin Scalia said. I'm concerned about the wisdom of this court imposing through the Constitution a requirement of action which is unpalatable to many of our citizens for religious reasons. They are not likely to change their view about what marriage consists of, and were the states to adopt it by law, they could make exceptions to what is required for same-sex marriage, who has to honor it, and so forth. And right there, he is setting up and out for ministers to not be required to marry. That's another topic in this whole debate. We're going to get to that and much more. We've got your Ukrainian update, your daily facepalm. We're going to have some wonderful guests joining us for a spotlight segment in the second hour. We've got a loaded program today. Aren't you glad you got up and turned on the radio this morning? Go ahead, call in at 610-539-TALK to let your voice be heard. Or local, or toll-free at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Would you like to earn up to 7 or 8% on your retirement savings? Are you frustrated with low interest at the bank? Would you like to participate in market gains but never in losses? Our clients make money when the market goes up, and they keep their money when the market goes down. Your principal is 100% safe and secure and guaranteed, and your profits are locked in and can never be lost. The U.S. Treasury Department recommends that every American should convert at least half of their retirement savings into these products. See if you qualify for an immediate bonus up to 20% of your deposit. You can also choose from CD equivalents that pay up to 4 times more than the banks and are liquid. You can cash out in just 18 months without penalty. We have over 12,000 clients who are earning more and have no risk. You should call us now. Life Rates of America, 888-974-7900, 888-974-7900, toll free, 888-974-7900.
How fast are new Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are new Allegra gel caps?
10 more lawns to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gives you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms in just 1 hour. 2 times faster than Claritin and stays strong for 24 hours. New Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster. Nothing's stronger. Among OTC oral antihistamines, refers to first dose only. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically, to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
Good morning and welcome to the program. You can call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. What is going on? There are protests popping up all over the country over Freddie Gray. What a rush to judgment this was. And it's so sad, you know, that all of this would come now. Right now, we'd have all these issues piling one, and you can thank the news media for that. In large part, larger traditional outlets like CNN, NBC, they were running this story. They got what they wanted. And now, because all the facts are coming out, people now, again, the Washington Post reporting that a prisoner who was with Freddie Gray in the van, that he was detained, he was separated from him by a metal, I guess, slot, if you can say, and he was basically reporting that he was hearing, and again, I will quote from the report, banging himself against the walls. That's what he reportedly said he heard Gray doing and believed he, quote, was intentionally trying to injure himself. Welcome to the program this morning. Again, let your voice be heard this morning. 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll free 1-877-667-1180. 667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Yeah, what do you think about this? What do you think about, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I missed something, but what do you think about all these protests in Baltimore now springing up in New York City? This is really, really flying off the handle, isn't it? And we have to make sure that we look at all the facts as they come out. And if you don't do that, so people rushing to judgment, of course, as it's always happened here. Well, and here we go. NBC headline, solidarity. You know, there are a couple of words that just smack immediately of PC, political correctness. Solidarity. Or even well, solidarity is one of those words. Showing support and solidarity in the case in Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray's a tragedy. Okay? Don't try to make this something it's not, because now you're taking away from his death. That's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what all those looters and rioters are doing. And even people who are saying that, because apparently they know somehow, they must have some in with the coroner. They must have some in with the medical examiner. They must know that a police officer bludgeoned him with their nightstick. They must know that. They have to. Because how else could they be protesting so passionately and know that this was first-degree murder, as they say? They must. They have to. Because, well, people, they go out and they are, well, they go out and they don't go out unless they know what they're talking about. Unless they know. So there's got to be something I missed here. Protests, though, over the death of Freddie Gray, they're going from coast to coast. Thousands of people across the country for this man. But they must know something that we don't. That's the only conclusion I could come to. They've got to know something that we don't. To be protesting so passionately. Because, especially before all the facts come out, right now, you know what this protesting is doing? It's marring the tragedy that occurred in Freddie Gray's death. There, I said it. It's marring Freddie Gray's death. And just like it marred Michael Brown's death. Okay? It is merely putting a black stain on the tragedy that happened. Because people don't know the facts, and they're trying to make this into something that they can use for their own gain. It's exactly what's going on. And you saw it with the rioters in Baltimore. There should be no sympathy for the rioters, for the looters. They should be called thugs. They shouldn't be called angry citizens or showing their dissent or showing civil disobedience. They're breaking the law. They need to be arrested. That's justice. And Freddie Gray, we need the facts. Because this is a tragedy. And that's all it's doing right now. 610-539-8255. Toll free at 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. You know, going back to homosexual marriage now being held in front of the Supreme Court, you know, I some of these quotes, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the quote of the day. You wouldn't be asking for this relief if the law of marriage was what it was a millennium ago. I mean, it wasn't possible. Same-sex unions would not have opted into the pattern of marriage, which was a dominant and subordinate relationship. There was a change in marriage to make it egalitarian when it wasn't egalitarian. I'll read that again, because you have to really look into what she's saying in order to understand it. So I'll read it again. Here we go. You wouldn't be asking for this relief if the law of marriage was what it was a millennium ago. I mean, it wasn't possible. Same-sex unions would not have opted into the pattern of marriage, which was a dominant and subordinate relationship. There was a change in marriage to make it egalitarian when it wasn't egalitarian. And again, that's from Yahoo. And I'm sure she's going to be dropping some excellent quotes as we get into this debate. But that is pointless quote number one. You wouldn't be asking for this relief if the law of marriage was what it was a millennium ago. Okay, that's okay. All right, go on. I mean, it wasn't possible. Same-sex unions would not have opted into the pattern of marriage, which was a dominant and subordinate relationship. Okay. There was a change in marriage to make it egalitarian when it wasn't egalitarian. Okay. And that does what now? That tell me that does what in helping a decision come to pass. We're going to move on. But not before we've got to head to a break. We're running up to... We're running up to a break here, and we'll go into the next hour. But here's Justice Stephen Breyer's. The opposite view has been the law everywhere for thousands of years among people who were not discriminating even against gay people. And suddenly, you want 9 people outside the ballot box to require states that don't want to do it to change what marriage is to include gay people. We'll see you on the other side at 8 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.